Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
.602 104.5 The Zone. J-Mart and Ramon with you for the next 3 hours. Hope you'll be with us as we help you along in your morning time. Ramon, there's a lot happening, man.
It is.
You know that today is, there's so much sports, there's no possible way to watch it all. U.S. Open.
Yeah.
NBA. Obviously, Thursday Night Football with the Battle of Ohio. I mean, everything is playing today.
It feels like they're making up for us not having March Madness this year. You know, because that time of the year gets super busy for everybody. There's spring ball going on. There's March Madness going on. There's basketball going on. And now we get an opportunity to kind of, I don't want to say make up for it because we had to go through a lot of obstacles. But we're here, and we got a full slate of everything tonight, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to see it all.
No.
Not enough TVs. You could go to a sports bar if you could.
Yeah.
Mayor Cooper. And watch all of demerit. That stuff.
Already.
That is demerit.
That's Ramon Foster. He's of All for Life. He's a Steeler for 11 years. Yeah. Not going to say for life.
A Tennessean forever,
there
though.
You go. Tennessean for life.
You know what? And I'll say this too. Yesterday we were just in our zone and we really forgot to say happy one week anniversary to each other.
That's right. Well, so happy 1 week anniversary, gentlemen. We're still here.
We're still here.
We are celebrating still being employed. That's always a positive.
Especially now.
Yes, exactly. A lot of kind stuff people have been saying over the last week. We appreciate it. We had somebody pop out a logo for us yesterday. We do have something in the works, but I'm not going to lie. We all like that logo, Trey.
I really like that, Trey.
Or Tress. I'm not positive it's Tress.
But his profile says Trey.
Okay,
it's all right. It's Tress, like number three, but he's Trey, though.
All right. I just want to make sure I get it right because I know he's big time. But no, we dug it a lot. We're going to use it in some form, maybe. We can find something we can do with it for sure. But that was cool. We're looking forward to that logo. I'm looking forward to seeing that logo myself.
Me too, and I'll be honest with you. The fact that we have people making logos for us, okay, says a whole lot about what we're doing because, as you said, we're new to this show. You've been around. I've been around. And I'm excited to see how we grow the show, and that's what we're going to do to it. We're going to be active. We're going to give you everything you want, Titans, Vols, all sports. We're also going to be engaging with you guys too. This is the us show, okay, and I like that idea of it
for
too.
For sure. Yeah, it's going to be a family. It's going to be a community. We're looking forward to it. It's at JMart and Ramon on Twitter, at Ramon Foster, at JMart Radio, Schaefer on Sports. He makes it happen. He completes our Voltron. We got a loaded show today. Yeah. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Rocky Boyman, who does sideline work and analyst work for ESPN, college football, also a host in Cincinnati, which doesn't stink to have. Also, like, we wanted to talk to him about the Big Ten. Then I forgot. Oh, wait. The Bengals are playing. So that's his squad. So we get to talk to him about that. And we also get to talk to him, Jonathan, about the fact that he played with Ramon. And Ramon had to look that up. And he's like, oh, you know what? He actually played with me for a year.
That is demerit.
I'll take two. Thank you. Simply because he came in later in my rookie year. And that 09 season, we were really scraping the pot for some wins then, okay? It was the Super Bowl hangover year. And here I was. He may have come in on, like, my first start of the year because he came in around November. And I'll tell you this. They had me so bogged down with not messing up and protecting Ben. And, hey, rookie, go here. Hey, rookie, get this. There's no hazing. It's just certain duties you got to do as a young guy, okay? I just want to put that out there. But that rookie year can be a blur. And when you're trying to maintain your job and learn the starting role, there might be one or two people that come in the locker room that you just, hey, they were teammates, but you don't remember them.
Weak.
We.
I'm gonna let Nashville hold court on it, and not even talk too soon after. So I'm just gonna let it sit there for a second.
Jeez.
I feel like the way you guys looked at my excuse right there, I'm Kip right there. Gee.
Yeah, that was tough.
You know that Justin Timberlake GIF that's really popular where he's just staring at you?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what just happened.
That was the one everybody talked about yesterday where it's like people that were calling for the second stimulus package were the same ones that were trying to get a PS5 yesterday, and it was just that Justin Timberlake GIF.
You know. I'll say this, guys. I'm going to put my own self up on the donkey board for that one. Okay? Yeah,
donkey board's a thing. That's coming soon.
Please, I need to redeem myself. At some point in the show, I'll redeem myself.
So yesterday, Roger Saffold, who's very good at his job, Ramon.
Really good. I respect that guy a lot, man.
Yeah, he was talking about the lack of holding calls in week one and hoping that sticks around. And across the league, it was just down.
It was low.
Flags were down, period. But in particular, holding penalties that are often 50-50 calls and things of that nature, they weren't being called. I don't know if that is something that's going to regress to the mean. One thing that I always look at is when there's new rules, a lot of times they overdo it and then they go back down. But on this case, holding's always been kind of...
They can never let us have anything, okay? Anytime the O-line, let me tell you where I've never been to a Titans practice yet, okay? But I guarantee you I can tell you where they practice at. They practice in the far left corner of the three fields. When it's time to do team drills, they
Bernie Sanders corner is what we're going to call that.
All the way
far
in the
left
back.
Corner.
Far left.
AOC corner.
Okay, and when it's time to do team drills, they make us run, okay, of all positions to the other field. Everything. I guarantee you that's where the O-line practice is at. So anytime we get a little bit of an inkling of having a little pat on the back, they're going to take it away from us. Watch how many holding penalties we get this week. And I say we because I'm still a part of that alumni of O-line, and you never leave it, okay?
Well, I was introduced to the brilliance of holding Twitter by Jeff Schwartz, our hate listen here on the program. He was on a couple of days ago, and he told me, he goes, watch Twitter during the game and watch how annoying people are about holding. It's like people in the league and vets that have left the league pay attention to what they call holding Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a hold on every play,
if
you need there to be one. And there's not one that got called incorrectly when you need it that way. So it's easy to make that case because there's a hold a lot of times, or there's something that you could try to make look like a hold, even if it's not really a hold.
I really hate holding calls. Like, seriously, there's nothing that will kill a drive, or even it can really mess up your play. So to see Saffold mention that, he know what's to come. You know, you can never have anything nice is what they're treating us with right now. It's just like when we used to play the when the Pittsburgh and Cincinnati games got bad. Anything that you did in those games, they flagged it just because it's an overreaction to it. I really hope they don't overcorrect this because we even talked about it when we were watching the Titans game. Like, this game is flowing. You know, watching the games over the weekend, they were flowing. Well, now we know it was because of the lack of flags that were thrown.
Yeah, I mean, that changes. I mean, that's the same thing with the NBA or college basketball or anything else. If there's a whole lot of stoppages, that's going to, like pitching changes in baseball. Like,
yeah.
That's going to slow down a game.
It slows it down.
So, and it kills the momentum and all that. And particularly on Thursday night footballs where it really stood out to me. It's like, I think there might have been a little bit of an extended halftime. It felt like there was a delay there, but in terms of the game, it was just – Slip and slide, man. Water park style.
It was, and that's what you want as far as you consuming the game that you love watching. I was like, okay, this is good right here. You know, I can still move around a little bit if this game ends timely, and it did. That was, hey, don't do this, NFL. Don't do this, officials. We can't even see your faces anyway. They're wearing masks on the field.
That's right. So we're going to have to watch that now.
Yeah.
To see, because it sounds like Saffold's like, I wish this would stick around, but it's probably not going to. It's kind of how it came across. The Kevin Byard story is just fun. You want to wake up, and we want to put a smile on your face as early as we can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we could talk about Big Ten, and we're going to. We're going to have a whole lot of college football. We got Rocky Boyman coming up in about 5 minutes. We got Anthony Heron of SiriusXM College, played at Iowa, played with the Detroit Lions, played with the Nashville Cats as well. He will join us in the second hour of this program. And beginning his weekly run with us, super excited, Andy Staples is going to be with us every Thursday at 8:15 from The Athletic. So he will join us here in just a little bit. But this Byard story is just
super.
This
cool.
is the thing that's going to put the smile on your face right it here. Is. He it delivered is. His own son, Ramon.
That is cool. And I'll say this too, seeing what he named his son is the fourth. You know what kind of pressure is on a guy to continue that Roman numeral going on? And he also delivered his kid. Reading that story was super cool because I'm a guy that missed both of my son's births, okay? In college, now my wife and I had RJ, my oldest kid. And we were flying back. It was one of the first time the NCAA started doing the Labor Day games. And I think I was 30 minutes late from his birth. The second one, I was there for my youngest, okay? Mm-hmm. And we ended up having to do an emergency C-section just out of nowhere. Okay, some stuff went on, and he's fine, she's fine. But I miss both of mine, and here Byard is just delivering his at home like a champ. Says a lot about this guy coming from a mid-major school, all-pro, Pro Bowl guy from Tennessee, playing in the Tennessee system. And now, look, here he is delivering his own seed, man. That's got to be cool.
You know, I'm looking at this. I just want to say this real quickly. This whole Fox 17 deal that we saw last night and Nate Rouse saying what he was saying from the Tennessean, the story about the mayor and the bars and restaurants, we're going to put a pin in that for 24 hours because I just think it's irresponsible because we don't know enough yet. It sounds pretty atrocious, but let's wait a day. We understand how important it is to the community, but I actually want to know what's going on before I say anything about it.
Let it breathe a little bit.
I feel like that's something we should learn in 2020 above all else is slow down and just wait for facts to come in before we're trying to confirm anything here. So I don't know enough yet. It doesn't look good. We'll say that, but we'll see. Maybe we're talking about that a little bit on the show tomorrow. Like I said, Anthony Herron coming up, Andy Staples coming up later as well. Rocky Boyman will join us on the flip side. We will talk college football in the Big Ten because he's in Big Ten territory, but also Burrow versus Mayfield tonight. Which one has the brighter future? I think I got an answer. And maybe things have changed. I don't know. But it feels like a must win, Moan.
Yeah.
For the Browns.
It does. It in a lot of different ways. And we can definitely discuss that because those two organizations, they seem like they're on the right track. And then next thing you know, there's a cart stoppage.
Well,
so
you know that division unlike anybody else. But we will bring in Rocky Boyman and chat with him on the flip side. Have your say on RSA, 615-737-1045. Just go ahead and bookmark that one. Put it into your phone when we take calls. That way it'll be easier for you to get in. Also, at JMart and Ramon, we'll get a poll up there for you here momentarily. Also, it is 614. We're off and running on a Thursday on 1045 The Zone. Mystical.
Look at the shoulders in here, man. I'm moving the shoulders, and Schaefer is just bopping right now. He's a guy I want to go to the bar with, okay?
No, he's not.
Any music.
He's even shaking his head.
We're in sequence right now, man.
There's a 621. JMart and Ramon. Name of the program. He's Ramon Foster. He played for the Vols. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm Jason Martin. I played for nobody. He's on Twitter at Ramon Foster. I'm at JMart Radio. Jonathan Schaefer is the one bopping his head. When trust matters, count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business, which is super important right now as everybody's trying to get back to some degree of normalcy. Visit all four, the number four, allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville to learn more. Well, we bring in Rocky Boyman, who hosts radio in Ohio. So we got all sorts of stuff we can talk to him about this morning. Of course, does a lot of college football work for ESPN on television as well. On Twitter, at RockyBoyman50. Also an author and, again, a father. I remember the first time we had you on a few weeks ago, Rocky. You had another child on the way. Not on the way, but it had already been delivered. But this is a question that both my producer, Jonathan Schaefer, and me wanted to lead off with. Do you remember that you played football in the NFL with Ramon Foster? Because Ramon Foster does not remember that he played football with you.
That's all right, Ramon. It wasn't that memorable of a tenure for me in Pittsburgh there. But, yeah, that was my eighth and final year. And, in a regard, I consider it one of the prouder moments I've ever had in my career. I mean, I've had a lot of success, but in that regard, I came on, I think I played seven games. I mean, it was November. before I actually caught on with the Steelers there. And I write about this actually a chapter in my book under the title, you know, Finish What You Start. You know, and I had kind of had this choice. I knew my tenure in the NFL was coming to a close, but I had a choice. I was like, do I just kind of let it go, or do I continue working out and just wait for that one last shot? And I made the determination that I was going to work out and train and do everything until December 31st. And after that, if it didn't happen, it wasn't going to happen. But lo and behold, it did. And again, you find out how much you love football when it's late October and you're on a high school field somewhere training by yourself and hoping for a shot. And I was able to do that. And again, was picked up by the Steelers. I couldn't imagine what would have happened had I showed up to that workout and I hadn't trained and I totally embarrassed myself. That would have been awful. So I was proud of the fact that even though it wasn't a great six or seven games that I played, but I was able to, you know, catch on the team there and help out a little bit. And again, very proud moment.
Rocky, no, they're just trying to divide us right now. That's what's happening here, okay? I told them, I was like, I was a young guy at the time. I may have been going in a couple of like my first starts. And when you're a young guy in the league, your head is down and you're in survival mode. That's
correct.
All.
Correct.
They're just trying to create tension right now, okay? And I for one, will not allow this because we're part of the same organization, okay, whether they want to believe it or not.
Well, correct. He also played correct. Here.
What? Well, I do remember that you were very young in your career, first or second year, if I'm not mistaken, and great player. And I think I remember hanging out with you at a bar after a game once or twice, maybe two. So it was good times. I enjoyed my time with Pittsburgh that one short season.
Oh, man.
Rocky, we appreciate you coming on the show, man, and letting these guys, they're putting my face in mud right now, just so you know, but that's all right.
Don't let them do it. Don't let them hate, man.
All right, Rocky, the Big Ten is going to play football. When we talked weeks ago, we were both pretty much, I think, on the same page. August 11th didn't make any sense. The science didn't seem to back up anything that they were doing, and they weren't showing their work. When they were finally called on it and the pressure was put on them, yesterday they come out with the plan. October 24th, football is going to be back in the Big Ten. Looks like my prediction is the Pac-12 will play on October 24th as well. Right now, but your reaction to the Big Ten, at least in my estimation, getting it right after getting it very, very wrong and having a lot of egg on their face over the last month.
Yeah, I think when we talked a couple weeks ago, I voiced my opinion that, you know, why make that determination when you had so much time to wait and see? There was plenty of time to kind of wait and maybe push things back a couple weeks. But you don't just cancel something. I think I may even give you an example. A couple years ago here in Cincinnati, Halloween was on a Friday, okay? And then, of course, the forecast comes out on Monday, and oh, my God, it's going to be snowing and raining, and all these poor trick-or-treaters, all these kids are going to be walking 10 feet in the snow, and it's going to be awful. Everyone was panicking. So there were some townships and jurisdictions and school districts that postponed Halloween to, oh, we're going to move it on Saturday, right? And, of course, what happened? We get to Friday, and Friday was like a pretty normal, nice fall day. Saturday turned out to be very crummy, and that really was a really stuck in my head. Just the example of you don't try to forecast everything in life. You plan something, and then you trudge forward, you plow through it until you get to a point where you absolutely can't. Then you divert, right? If it's raining and snowing, and your kids are all freezing cold, you put them in the car and you go home. But you don't try to forecast for the perfect situation. Same thing for the Big Ten. My opinion was always, how do we know things are going to be better in February or March? They could be worse. So, but nevertheless, I think a lot of people kind of felt that same way. But nevertheless, they under immense pressure, right?
Yeah.
Pressure. I think a lot of these school presidents and chancellors, they're used to going to, you know, ribbon cutting ceremonies and everyone loving them. All of a sudden, now they're getting destroyed on social media and getting all these calls and emails and stuff. They're like, wait a minute here. We got to do something. So I think all that pressure and forced the Big Ten to finally get back on. I think they made the right decision. Now, it's going to depend how it works out. Obviously, things could change, as I just said. But right now, I'm very happy. The Big Ten is playing. Looks like the Pac-12. And then I just saw this morning the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
is talking about playing, which leaves just the MAC is potentially the only conference that won't play football here this fall.
Well, even though it's not nearly as big a story, just because you mentioned the MAC and you're up there in MAC territory as well as Big Ten territory, do you think they alter or they just they like? I mean, again, their revenue situation is different than a larger conference, and they might like the idea of having the floor all to themselves in the spring and just playing, because then they're basically the XFL. They're a secondary league as opposed to having to compete with the big boys.
Well, that's what they're betting on. I don't know if that's necessarily going to work out for them. And first of all, I'm already dreading. I have a vision of myself in DeKalb, Illinois in February, yeah, calling Akron the Northern Illinois with three people in the stands and 8 feet of snow on the ground. I can already see that's going to happen. So football in February in the Midwest, we'll see how that works. The other thing too is, you know, from a revenue standpoint, the biggest kind of determining factor was for the MAC making the decision to cancel the fall was, okay, teams aren't going to play out of conference games, and the MAC of course needs those money revenue generating games. You know, Bowling Green needed to play Ohio State because that meant $1.2 million toward their athletic department. Well, that's not happening in the fall, but that's also not going to happen next year in February or March. So I know one of the concerns, I talked to a bunch of MAC coaches, I think a lot of the concerns was they didn't know there was no universal protocol on testing, right? And at the time, a test was between $75 and $100 per test. So, you know, the coaches would say, look, if, you know, Ohio State can test their 100 athletes three times a week to the tune of $100 a test, we can't. You know, if you're Miami of Ohio, you don't have the revenue to do that. But now, again, as we sit here now, I'm hearing those rapid tests that you get the results back in like 15 minutes. They're as low as like $30. So things have changed. I think that'll help them. Will it work out? Will people be rushing to the TV to enjoy MAC football in February, March? I hope they will, but we shall see.
Yeah. With the agreement of these conferences saying they're going to play, you know, a lot of stuff goes into it to where it's like, okay, well, what's important? And the most important factor in this to me is the kids. How important is it for these athletes being able to get film? I mean, a lot of us have aspirations to go to the next level. How important is it for them to be able to have their film resume?
I mean, it's huge. I couldn't imagine. I have friends that you know, have kids that play college football and are seniors, and they're and maybe they're not going to make the NFL or not, but even just the fact to have your senior year, Ramon, you know how special that is. Whether it's high school, college, you remember things that happened to your senior year. That's kind of the tip of everything happening there. But yeah, for the athletes that do think they may have a shot at the next level, that throws a wrench into the whole situation. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how many players, if for instance, say the MAC does, go forward in the spring, how many players decide to sit out. I mean, you know, there's more kids every year that goes by. There's more and more kids that think they're going to play in the NFL when probably they don't have a shot to do it, but they think they're going that way. So are we going to see, you know, 10 kids per roster, per team in the MAC? Are they going to sit out? I don't know, but I think it definitely helps. Certainly the Big Ten players, and I'm happy for them that those players will get a senior year, not only just to complete that senior year and their college journey, but also then to the ones that are going to have a shot to play in the NFL, they'll be able to get 8 games of resume tape out there, and I think that should be enough.
Rocky Boyman, our guest here on J Mart and Ramon. We'll talk about his book here in a little bit as well. You'll catch him on ESPN and certainly on the radio if you're in the Ohio area. So it's a battle of Ohio tonight, Rocky. We didn't even think about this. We were bringing you on to talk college football, and then all of a sudden it hit us. Oh, it's Baker versus Joe Burrow tonight on Thursday Night Football. I'm sure you've been talking a lot about that. In Cincinnati, first off, Joe Burrow had that look on his face on the sidelines on Sunday like, oh, man, I play for the Cincinnati Bengals now, don't I? This kind of thing didn't happen at LSU. But what was your assessment of the rookie, and what has maybe your audience's assessment been this week when you guys have taken calls?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, even given the result, Cincinnati fans were very happy and are still very, very excited about Joe Burrow. To me, nothing matters in this season, wins and losses. Really nothing else matters other than knowing at the end of this year, do the Cincinnati Bengals and does the fan base can they honestly look at themselves and say, you know what, Joe Burrow is the guy. We got it right. Right? I mean, that's what it comes to. The worst thing that happened to a Cincinnati Bengals coach or even the fan base is to be sitting here on January 1st going, God, man, I don't know if Joe's the guy or not. And, you know, I mean, look, in Cleveland, they're doing that 4 years later with Baker Mayfield. They don't know if he's the franchise quarterback. They don't know if he's the guy that's going to finish out the season. So that's what it's all about. In week one, Joe Burrow, he made some mistakes. He threw a bad interception. There were three deep balls, one of which he certainly could have connected with A.J. Green on. He missed on that one. But he made it. He did what he did was late in the game. And Ramon, you know this: the quarterback is judged by how he competes, how he performs in those big moments. And it was, you know, about 3 minutes left to go in the game. 2 minutes left to go in the game. Driving the ball down the field, he hit, I believe, 7 different wide receivers, 10 different passes, converted 2 third downs, got them to the 4 yard line there. Threw the touchdown pass to A.J. Green, but it was called OPI. They moved it back. They kicked the field goal. The field goal was missed, and we know what happened after that. But everyone looked at that moment and said, wow, it didn't look too big for Joe Burrow. He looked calm, cool, collected, and he performed well. There was no panicking in that big moment in the game, and that is something that has a lot of Cincinnati fans excited.
Speaking of kickers and special teams, you and I both have played special teams. You play on more than I did and have a great idea of what it takes to get those teams together. You know, nobody really mentions it until there's an issue. It's the same thing as O-line play. Nobody notices you until you mess up. Over the league this past weekend, we noticed a bunch of special team issues that was going on. How important was it or is it for them to be able to have a regular season to work through that? And the difference between, you know, kicking in practice and kicking in a game.
It was weird. I think I saw the stats. 70% of kicks were missed in the NFL in week one, which is that's crazy, especially considering it's hard to blame COVID because, you know, COVID stopped meetings from happening and players, you know, offenses couldn't get together and all that. But if you're a kicker, hell, you can go to the park by your damn self and kick field goals, right? Like,
the attitude we have.
Yeah, I don't understand how exactly that happens. And in Cincinnati's case, their kicker Randy Bullock, both his calves cramped during the kick, which means he wasn't hydrated. Now I don't know if you ever know it. I've never seen a kicker dehydrated in all my 8 years in the NFL. But
never.
It happened because, well, it's Cincinnati and it's 2020.
That's what I was gonna say, Rocky. Isn't that the most Bengals thing that possibly could have happened?
It is absolutely. All of our reaction right after that. I was like, of course that would happen.
The first thing I thought was
the quarterback leading a drive down the field, and here we go.
No, and we were in here talking. I was like, don't grab your calf. No, don't do that move.
Well, I know, and you know, people are debating whether he grabbed the wrong calf or not. So I think that's why now the narrative is both calves cramped. So I don't know, man. I'm done commenting on. That's all I'm gonna say.
Why is Baker Mayfield running so much, Rocky? Why is he running like he's, I don't know, Deshaun Watson or Randall Cunningham or somebody that really was known to run the ball instead of? I mean, we know he's accurate. We know he can throw. He seems to be running before he has to, as opposed to doing it when he does have to.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many things potentially going on here. Here's also a player that's had what, 3 different head coaches, 3 different coordinators in his 10 years. So maybe there's no continuity there. And I think you're also seeing a guy who's under immense pressure, right? Everybody's saying, "Oh my God, is Baker Mayfield going to make it? Is he a first pick overall bust?" So you often see that when that happens. Players and especially quarterbacks try to do too much. You know, they try to just make a play out of every single play when it's not there. And Ramon, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, play wasn't there. He'd throw the ball out of bounds, and okay, we'll live to fight another day. And I just wonder if it's an instance where he's just trying too hard. He wants to make every play, and God love him, he wants, you know, everyone to, you know, to see, hey, he's the guy, and he's a great quarterback in the league. I just think that's, you know, trying too hard is a part of it.
Yeah, being able to create is something that's a skill, and not everybody can do it. You can move around as much as you want to, but if you're not productive, you're going to get yourself hurt and put your team in a bad down and distance. But speaking of those two conferences, and, you know, the Titans being the AFC South, this year is the AFC North versus the South. looking at the teams in these divisions, it could possibly be four teams, depending on seeding, come from. And I'm looking at Titans, Houston can do it, maybe Indy, of course, the Ravens and Pittsburgh. How do you see these matchups between these two divisions?
It really is. I mean, you love watching the NFC South right now as well, to your point. You know, Colts fans, and I played a couple years with the Colts, aren't happy right now. Everyone's hoping they'd see a different Philip Rivers. They hope they'd see the guy, not last year, but the one who, you know, in years past was always, you know, just, a great quarterback. And again, in those big moments, they didn't see that. So that was a little bit disappointing. But, for the Titans, I think they got all the pieces. They made a great run last year here and then decided to go with Tannehill. And you got Derrick Henry, and hopefully he stays healthy back there. But, yeah, I don't necessarily know how much I believe in the Texans, because, what they did off season wise in terms of the weapons that Deshaun Watson has at his disposal. But certainly a very, very competitive division, and one that'll be really, really fun to watch.
Rocky's Rules, a playbook for becoming your best in challenging times. Rocky, I asked you for one of Rocky's rules the last time I had you on. I want you to not give up things that people should go read your book to get, but give us a quick rule here in this last, 45 seconds or so.
Yeah, I'll tell you that this one happened. This is actually when I was with the Titans playing against the Steelers. This is my second year. And the lesson is that prepare and one day your chance will come, right? I think there's a lot of people out there that are frustrated in their job and there's somebody ahead of them and they don't feel like they can ever, get past them. So why even try? I mean, this is kind of happening my second year. I was always prepared well and been a player that worked extremely hard and very, very dedicated. And I had a great first season. I set the Oilers Titans franchise record for special teams tackles in the season, played some situationally and defensively. But in the second year, I wanted more. I had a great preseason. But no matter what I did, I was still going to be the backup. So I started to get frustrated. And Gunther Cunningham, the linebacker coach at the time, kept me after a meeting and basically kind of got my head right and said, look, if I were you, I'd prepare as if I was the starter, because you never know what may happen. Well, fast forward in the season, week four, we go up to Pittsburgh to play. The starter in front of me goes down. Boom, all of a sudden, I'm in there. And, long story short, by the end of the game, I had an interception return for a touchdown, 10 tackles, the whole deal. But after the game, I just remember being so thankful that I had prepared, because had I got my chance, right, had I got my opportunity and gone in that game, and I didn't study the playbook, I didn't know my opponent, and I played horribly, I never would have got that chance again. So the lesson there for all of us is, no matter how bleak things look, keep preparing, keep grinding, man. Keep every day getting great at your craft, because your chance will come. I believe it will come. The salesperson in front of you will be off sick one day, or he'll start to lax a little bit, and all of a sudden you're going to be called on. And the only question is, what are you going to do with your opportunity when you get it? So again, the lesson is prepare, and one day your chance will come. So the book is full of things like that. It's my 11 rules for life, mindsets that I think are very, very important. And again, that I learned mostly the hard way in the NFL through a failure or some sort of hard situation. But I think it's good for everybody here, because we're all going through challenging times right now, right, with COVID and the economy and everything's just kind of crazy. I just think it's kind of good core mindset to have. It's called Rocky's Rules, and it's on Amazon right now.
Yep, and you can look at therockyboyman.com and check it out as well. I think I've heard it said, or at least I heard years ago, Rocky, prepare for the job you want, not necessarily the job you have. You obviously already have to be prepared there, but if you want to be the starter, make sure you're ready to be the starter so that when your number is called, you can succeed the way you just did. And in that story, certainly. We appreciate it. We are always happy to catch up with you. We hope to do it again soon.
Guys, anytime. Love being with you. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. That is Ramon Foster's teammate.
Yeah.
From Pittsburgh. Rocky Boyman, also former Tennessee Titan. It is 6:41 on 104.5 The Zone.
I mean, you walk in that door on your two legs all fat and cocky and looking at me in my chair, and you tell me it's all in my head? I hope that both of you have sons, handsome, beautiful, articulate sons who are talented and star athletes, and they have their legs taken away. I mean, I pray you know that pain and that hurt.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby! Don't you put that on us!
That is a demerit.
That is a demerit.
As he played that marvelous clip, okay, fantastic, from Talladega Nights, yes, he plays this soothing Ashanti music coming in, though. I don't know how to judge him this morning.
No,
okay?
it's J-Lo and Ja Rule. It's not Ashanti, so but that
is a demerit.
I was about to say it, but there you go.
You know what?
Schaefer's on it today.
He is on it.
Just rename that the Ramon button. The Ramon button. Just put it there on the screen. Ramon button.
You know, either way, it was awesome during my youthful time as a kid, so I'll take it.
When trust matters, count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors here in Nashville. Professional garage door installation, professional garage door repair, family-owned and operated business. Saw the stat yesterday. 60%, according to CNBC, 60% of the businesses that had to shut down during the pandemic aren't coming back. So you want to support these guys. They do a fantastic job at what they do. And when you hear locally owned and family owned and stuff like that, it should make your ears perk up. We need to support the community, and especially when they do what they do as well as All Four Seasons Garage Stores in Nashville does. AllFourSeasonsGarages.com/Nashville is where you want to go to learn more. So I was thinking about Rocky Boyman, and thanks to him for joining us. We'll have him from time to time. He gets up early because he does radio. So we're going to take advantage of that, first of all. We like Rocky. But when he was talking about his rules and what's going to be in his book, or what's actually in his book that's released already, about being prepared even before you have the opportunity, so that when the opportunity comes, you can take advantage of it, because inevitably you're going to get a shot. Here's what I was thinking about, Moan. I was thinking about, and by the way, this is J Martz and Ramon. You put an at behind that. You can find us on Twitter, at Ramon Foster, Vol for Life, former Steelers lineman as well. And I am just Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at J Martz Radio. I was thinking about Chris Jackson, the 7th-round pick with the Titans. You can't have the mentality, I'm a 7th-rounder, I'm not going to get in.
No.
He played 35 snaps.
That's huge.
I mean, a ton in his first game. 7th-round pick. Mm-hmm. 2nd-rounder, Christian Fulton. Nowhere, you know.
Yeah. Didn't. No, that's huge. And as Rocky was saying on his call a second ago, you can't prepare as if you have one role. It's 53 guys on a roster, and it's even smaller than that. It's maybe 23, 25 players on each side of the ball. And there's things that's going to happen in the game to where you got to be prepared for your main position, which may be a special team before you, for a young guy, but then your number get called. I've been in situations before where we've had guys who were primarily special teamers, or let's say a guy got demoted. I've seen this happen. A guy get demoted, but they raise his role on special teams. Let's say if the guy is playing in the secondary, okay, and a guy that's starting over him for that one particular week goes down in that game. It always happens, okay? I had a coach that say to me the other day, he was like, you know, it's just like putting the backup right fielder in right field. Guess where everybody hits the ball? To the right field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's a lot of the time that guy's luck, that the person in front of him that's got him demoted, something happens. And if you're not prepared, you can cause your team to lose. And I've seen guys be on the field not fully prepared because they're upset with what's in front of them, instead of being true professionals, as Rocky was saying, and preparing for the role that the team is asking you. Yes, you're a special teamer, but your position might be DB or corner, or you might be the extra O lineman, the extra tight end O lineman, but let's say the guard goes now. You got to know the plays and the roles, and that's part of being a true pro. And to see a young guy, 7th-round pick, be able to step up and play a good bit of a crucial game for this organization and the Titans, that's huge, man. That's been a true pro.
Especially when you didn't pick him out as being just completely dominated out there.
Yeah.
Like, they picked on him a little bit, mm-hmm, and of course they did.
They're supposed to.
Yeah, and he looked like he was in his first game, but he was in his first game. Mm-hmm. I mean, people ask me, Moan, about my career, and a lot of people will send me messages and say, how do I get opportunities in media? I'm like, well, there's a ton of people. One thing that I did is never say no.
Yeah.
Like, whether it was TV, whether it was writing, whether it was radio, whether it was calling a high school game on a web broadcast that 6 people had access to, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because once Fox Sports Radio needed a fill-in one morning and put me on, I was just like, well, if I suck, I'm never getting a second chance. So I better be good here.
Yeah.
So I think it all plays into Rocky's rules. And it plays into Chris Jackson, and it plays into what you just said.
It does, and we can go even further. Rashawn Evans got booted from the game this past week, did we not?
Yeah.
And look what happened. You have a savvy vet, guys. We talked about that yesterday. Those guys get opportunities. We talk about Gaskowski. and having a guy who has a reputation like Will Compton, been around the league, been a solid player. Guess what Will does? He comes in a game and also have a big stop along with their defensive front on the goal line. He was a huge part of making that play stop when Denver was moving into the end zone. So you have to be ready for more than just your job. You don't want to overwhelm yourself, but imagine if Will was just like, hey, I'm just a backup role player, you know, or I'm just here to support the guys or teach the guys. Like, no, you have to be a true pro with everything you do, because your moment that in the moment that you get called and you drop the ball, oh, they're going to be shopping. And the fact that they can retain a lot more players on practice squad right now, your room for error gets a little bit smaller. You get a little bit shorter. I think the guys, you know, who learn like Rocky did or have a reputation like Will Compton, they find opportunities to continue to get on rosters and make plays.
That's right. It's absolutely right. We got two more hours coming up. Anthony Heron will join us at the end of the second hour. Andy Staples will join us in the third hour of the program. Time for you to have your say on our say at 615-737-1045. Plus, Jonathan Schaefer explains the demerit system that begins on the program. Lots still to get to. We'll talk Big Ten when we come back. And also, do the Titans have a problem with their fourth wide receiver? We'll discuss at 6:54 on 104.5 The Zone.
That is demerit.